It's a real privilege to be here with you, and I look out in the congregation and see a lot of faces I haven't seen in years, and it's really good to see some of my friends here and family, and Lord willing, we'll be leaving for Prince George May 17th, so it's a little less than 2 weeks, and when I start saying that, I become overwhelmed because the reality of our move is starting to settle in, and but the Lord has been gracious to us, and like Pastor said, this evening I'll go into some of the ways in which the Lord has led and answered prayer, and we are very excited to be part of the Lord's work and to serve Christ and His vineyard up north. Prince George is about 10 hours north of Vancouver. If you saw the Olympics this year, you usually would, if you ever were to come and visit us in Prince George, you would fly into Vancouver and then fly to Prince George. It's a congregation of about 45 to 50 people. Good, solid work where God's people want to go on with Christ. And when I went out there, there was seems like an instant chemistry that had a connection that had developed with me and the people, and it just grew, and we just praise the Lord for this opportunity to serve Him. What I wanted to do this morning is really share with you the text that the Holy Spirit had moved in my heart to confirm that my family and I were to go to Prince George, and it's a wonderful text. It's a dear text to my heart. I'll never forget it. And I hope that as I bring this word this morning, that it will bless your heart and that it will convince you that God's word is living and that it is alive and it speaks to us of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So I'd have you turn with me back in your Bibles to Numbers 10. Numbers 10. To focus on a man by the name of Hobab. Probably most of you don't know Hobab. I didn't know much of Hobab before studying God's Word and before the Lord spoke to my heart from this passage in Numbers 10. But before we read the passage that we will look at this morning, let's all bow our heads in a brief word of prayer and ask the Lord to bless our time together. Let's all pray. Father, it's good to be here in your house today to worship our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we praise Thee for Your grace and Your mercy towards us. And we confess that, Lord, there's nothing likable or lovable in and of ourselves to make You attracted to us. But Lord, we thank You that Christ, as He saw the joy that was set before Him, He did not despise the cross. He did not turn away from the cross, but He went to the cross willingly and voluntarily because He loved His people. And, oh, Father, we thank You today for the redemption and the atonement of our Savior, Jesus Christ, on the cross. And we pray that as we consider this passage here in Numbers 10, Lord, that You will open our hearts like You opened the heart of Lydia. Father, help us to receive Thy word. Help us, Lord, to hear not just words that are read from a book, but, Father, we pray for the Holy Spirit to apply these words to our hearts that we might sense the presence of Jesus Christ in our midst. So, Father, we pray now that You might receive all the honor and glory due Your name. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. In Numbers chapter 10, the chapter gives us the time period in which we find Israel in their history. If you read in verse 11, it tells us that this is the second year after the Exodus. And we read in that verse, and it came to pass on the 20th day of the second month, in the second year. The second year is a reference to the Exodus, that the cloud was taken up from off the tabernacle of the testimony. This is a special time in the history of Israel because they are about to commence a march to the Promised Land. And you can imagine there's great expectation and excitement in the camp. Moses is commanded by the Lord in the very beginning of the chapter to make two trumpets of silver. We read in verse 2, "Make thee two trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shalt thou make them." that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeyings of the camps. And so there is this excitement, this anticipation in which the Lord is going to usher in this promise that he promised Israel, that there will be a land for them. And all of these details are starting to become worked out in this chapter. And you could imagine all the people, the army, and the people of Israel amassing themselves here in front of Moses. And the army of Israel is being amassed. The people of God are going through a rites of purification to prepare themselves to enter the promised land. There's a celebration in the Feast of Passover regarding the deliverance that the Lord had done for the people of God from Egypt. There's a sense of worship, a sense of awe in the presence of Almighty God, in the cloud and in the fire that the Lord is revealing to the people of the Lord. But before this triumphant march, before this great entry into the promised land, there were some important details that needed to be addressed, that needed to be taken care of. One such detail was a guide for the people of Israel. They needed someone with expertise and reconnaissance. They needed someone that knew the land, that knew where the water was and where the food was. And this man that Moses set his eyes on was a man by the name of Hobab. Hobab. Now, who was Hobab? Let's read the verses that we're going to deal with this morning in our text in verses 29 through 32. This is really the only section that we read about Hobab. And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Raguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come now with us, and we will do thee good, for the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. And he said unto him, I will not go, but I will depart to mine own land and to my kindred. And he said, leave us not, I pray thee, for as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, and thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. And it shall be, if thou go with us, yea, it shall be, that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will we do unto thee. Now, who was Hobab? Well, we know from other passages in the Scripture that Hobab was Moses' brother-in-law. He was the son of Reuel. Now, Reuel had been a great ally to Moses in Exodus chapter 18. If you turn there in Exodus chapter 18, Reuel is actually mentioned by the name Jethro. Jethro was the father-in-law of Moses. And there, in that chapter in Exodus 18, great things that we read about Jethro and how he enjoyed the company of God's people, how he wanted to see God's people prosper. And when Moses told Jethro about how the Lord had delivered Israel from the hands of Egypt, Jethro was just thrilled. He was excited. He was pleased to hear that. And there was this camaraderie between Jethro and Moses and the people of God. And now we read in Numbers chapter 10 of a son born to Jethro. His name was Hobab. And Hobab was evidently an expert in the land. He would have been a good spy, if you will, a good scout, to go out and to cover the terrain for Israel to find food, to find lodging, to find safety. He would know perhaps where some of the enemies were and some of the places to go to and some of the places not to go to. He would find good pastures, good places for the people of God. And Moses makes certain appeals to Hobab to come with the people of God. One of those appeals would be based on family. Hobab was part of the family. He was the brother-in-law to Moses, and there was a certain, perhaps, obligation that Moses was trying to appeal to encourage Hobab to come and help the people of God. There was also an appeal that Moses makes in terms of the blessings that Hobab would receive from the hand of God. He said that the same blessings that Israel would receive, he would receive as well. And then thirdly, the appeal that he was making to Hobab was, he was a man of great ability, a man that was one of a kind. And basically Moses said, we really can use you. And he says in verse 32, I believe, that you will be the eyes of Israel. So there was this tremendous appeal made to Hobab from Moses to come and follow him and the people of God. Now the response of Hobab is revealed to us here in the portion of Scripture. Hobab says, I will not go in verse 30, but I will depart to mine own land and to my own kindred. And when you read this portion of Scripture, there's kind of a letdown, there's kind of a disappointment when we consider this text. Here, how could a man like that refuse such an offer? Hobab had lived with Israel through many months of seeing supernatural activity from the hand of the Lord. He had witnessed God's great power in many ways. And also, he was good to Israel. And you would think that such an invitation would be graciously received and perhaps not even have to be offered to a man because of all the things that he witnessed, all the things that he experienced. And yet Moses asks him to come, and he says no. He says no. And when you look at this text, it seems like that is the answer that Hobab gives. That's where the story ends. But I personally believe that Hobab changed his mind, and I say that because of the scripture that we read that follows Numbers. There's certain passages in the Bible that makes me believe that Hobab did go with Moses and the people of Israel. And the main text that I base this on is found in Judges chapter 1, verse 16. This is a key text that proves, in my opinion, that Hobab changed his mind and went after Moses and the people of God. We read in Judges chapter 1, verse 16. We read in the children of the Kenite. Now the Kenites were the descendants of Jethro, the father-in-law of Moses, and went up out of the city of palm trees with the children of Judah into the wilderness of Judah, which lieth in the south of Arad, and they went and dwelt among the people. Now we see from this text that the people of Jethro, the people of Reuel, which would have been the people of Hobab, entered into the promised land with Judah and with the people of God. Now how did they get there? How did the descendants of Hobab get there? Well, you could say that there were some descendants of Hobab that perhaps decided to stay with Israel. Hobab had left and decided to stay in his own country. And there were some, though, that didn't want to leave, and they decided to go with Israel and Moses. And that this reference could be referring to the remnant of those who went with Israel. But I believe that the way the leader goes is the way the people went. And Hobab, in my opinion, decided to change his mind and follow the Lord. Change his mind and follow the people of Israel. For what else could explain his people being in the promised land with Judah? And there was a change of heart in the mind of Hobab. There was something that convinced him, persuaded him. Perhaps it was Moses' persistence. If you remember that text in Numbers 10, Moses was pleading with Hobab to come, and he didn't seem to take no for an answer. He wanted Hobab to come. And when he said no, he said, come on, come with us. And the blessings that we will receive, you will receive. And we don't get that specific response from Hobab that he decided to go with Moses and the people of Israel in Numbers 10, but I believe in Judges 1, verse 16, we can conclude or we can deduce that he decided to go with the people of God and to follow the Lord. And what a good decision that was on part of Hobab to do that, to follow after the Lord and his people. But you notice in other portions of Scripture, not only in Judges 1:16, but Hobab and his descendants come up again in a good light in other portions of Scripture. You remember the story of Jael. Jael was a woman who had been raised up by the Lord to kill one of the enemies of Israel, Sisera. King Sisera was an evil man, a wicked man. And remember that he was running away from the judgment of God, running away from justice, and he was tired and he needed to get some rest. So he comes to this tent, and we discover that the tent belonged to Heber. Heber in Judges chapter 4, verses 11, was a Kenite. Remember, a Kenite was a descendant from Jethro, was a descendant from Hobab. And here in this tent was his wife, Jael. Jael was a godly woman, a woman who loved the Lord and loved the people of God. And she asked this evil man, Sisera, to come into our tent and to rest for a while. And as he slept, as he fell asleep, to his surprise, Jael had thrusted a spike through his head and killed him and destroyed the enemy of Israel and the people of God. But she was the wife of Heber, who was the descendant of Hobab. And you can see in the line of Hobab that there's grace that followed his descendants. There was mercy that followed this man. And I believe that it was because of his following after the Lord, that his commitment to Christ was real. His commitment to the Lord had followed his children and his children's children. There's another interesting passage in the Old Testament in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 6. This passage is in the context of King Saul, and he's about to destroy the Amalekites. And before he destroys the Amalekites, he says in verse 6 of 1 Samuel chapter 15, "And Saul said unto the Kenites," there we have that word again, the Kenites, the descendants of Jethro, the descendants of Hobab, "Go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites." So we see here, though the text in Numbers 10 seems to imply that Hobab didn't go with Moses, I would reference these other scripture verses to, in my opinion, I believe that there was a change in this man, that through the persistence of Moses and through the work of the Holy Spirit, this man decided to follow the Lord and his people. And that's a beautiful picture of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here, the natural man in his sin and in his rebellion against God says no. He says, no, I won't follow the Lord. I won't follow after the people of God. And yet, the Lord comes down in His power and His grace and in His mercy and changes that man. And transforms that man. And changes the direction of that man. So that when the Lord comes in power, He changes a sinner. Whereas the sinner says no, God comes and works a change in his life. The sinner says yes, by the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Hobab, I believe, is a beautiful picture of each and every one of us. For in our sin, in our rebellion, we say, no, I want to go my own way. I want the comforts of my own life. And yet the Lord comes in grace and in power and saves us from ourselves and changes our no to yes and inclines our hearts to follow after the Lord. Coming with Moses was not just a change of address for Hobab. It was not just a mere going across the block to change addresses, not at all. It was a radical change for this man, Hobab. It was a radical orientation of life itself. To come with Moses was to have a new family. To come with Moses was to have a new country. To come with Moses was to have a new life. We see that Hobab's decision to follow Moses and the children of Israel did not just affect his life, but affected future generations to come. It affected his children, and their children, and their children's children. And we see how a man who decided to follow after the Lord, who was empowered by God to follow Him, how that would affect his generations to come. And let me say this just in word of application, that those who follow the Lord can have an impact after they die for generations to come. We have a tremendous responsibility as believers to teach our children to follow the Lord, and that they can teach their children to follow the Lord. And we see that in the life of Hobab. We see that in the descendant in jail. We see that in the descendant of those who King Saul treated with kindness and grace. Oh, that God would have mercy upon our families and have mercy upon our children and their children's children, that we could prolong, we could go forth with a godly seed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is a passage that I really hold dear to my own heart, because I look at this as what the Lord has done in terms of my call to Prince George. We're not just going around the corner to change the address, so to speak. This is a radical orientation of life for my wife, for myself, and my two children. It's going to be a new family, new friends, a new way of life for us. And I related instantly as I read this from Numbers 10, how the Lord burned this within my own soul and really brought this home to my own heart when I considered going to Prince George. He was a man who was undeserving of the Lord's gracious invitation. He was a pagan. He was not part of the covenant, and yet the Lord graciously invites him to come to be part of this great march into the promised land. What a privilege, what a responsibility that this man Hobab had. So this message is simply titled Hobab's Journey. And this journey that Hobab is about to embark on could be my journey as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are three points that I like to make from this life of Hobab. And I like to look first at the goodness to Hobab. The goodness to Hobab. One commentator says about the goodness to Hobab, Hobab experienced the goodness of God in the same way that the rest of the people did, in the providential care that God gives his erring people in an inhospitable desert, hospitable desert of their banishment. In other words, when you look at the life of Hobab, did he really deserve the goodness of the Lord? Did he really deserve the grace of the Lord? He was not part of the covenant. He was a man who, for all practical purposes, had his own religion, had his own ways of life, had his own culture, had his own family. And yet the Lord, through Moses, says, come, come with me. Come with me and see great things that I will show you. He says that in verse 29 of our text. Moses says, come now with us, and we will do thee good, for the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. And he reiterates and repeats the same concept of goodness to Hobab in verse 32. And it shall be, if thou go with us, yea, it shall be that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will we do unto thee. The goodness of the Lord towards sinners is a great theme to consider when you study the Bible. Just a sampling of scriptures that I came across when you look at the goodness of the Lord. Exodus 34, verse 6. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord, God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth. The Lord was abundant in goodness towards this man Hobab. And he's abundantly good to all sinners. We don't deserve God's goodness. We don't deserve God's grace. We deserve to be alienated from the Lord because of our sin. Because of our righteousness is not righteousness. It's as filthy rags before the Lord. And yet the Lord shows us goodness. Abundant goodness to every sinner. If you're here today and you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a recipient of God's goodness. You're a recipient of God's grace. I'm a recipient of God's grace in salvation. And I look at this call to Prince George as a token of God's goodness to me and my family. That we have the privilege and honor to serve my King of Kings in a place that the Lord has chosen for me. It's funny, when my dad was in the Army, he told me this story as he was stationed in Fairbanks, Alaska, I believe. And He was coming home from the Army. He had served his time, and he was riding through the highway there. I can't even remember the name of the highway that you drive from Alaska through to British Columbia. But on his way home, he stopped at a place called Prince George, he thought, and stayed overnight. And we talked about how ironic things like that happen in life, where little did he know that he'd have a son that would go up there to be a preacher of the Lord Jesus Christ in an area so remote as Prince George. And yet, I look at it as a testimony of God's goodness and grace to me, to be counted worthy to preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 28. And now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words be true, and thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Another passage that is, again, bringing out the goodness of the Lord, and the goodness of the Lord to Hobab, the goodness of the Lord to sinners, the goodness of the Lord to you and to me. We find ourselves here worshiping the Lord because of His goodness, because of His grace even this morning. What a privilege to be part of the Church of Jesus Christ. Psalm 52, verse 1. Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. The goodness of God endureth continually. When you think about your loved ones, your unsaved loved ones, those who are not yet without Christ, and yet the Lord in His goodness continues to preserve their life, continues to give them life and breath and continues to keep them from harming themselves, perhaps for the day when the Lord will draw them to salvation in Jesus Christ. God is good. God is merciful. God is long-suffering. Perhaps you're here today and you have never tasted and seen that the Lord is good, that the goodness of the Lord endureth forever. Now, the Lord is not against you, but the Lord is for you. And the cross proves that. Jesus Christ went to the cross because He loves sinners, because He died for sinners. Oh, that we would see afresh the goodness and grace that's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you've never come to Christ, you've never experienced the goodness of the Lord, I would implore you today to come to the Lord. He's good. You're not good, sinner. But the Lord is good. And He showers upon sinners goodness and grace and forgiveness and repentance through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? You can't repent unless the goodness of God comes upon you. Unless God shows you that you're a sinner, that you're a wicked sinner, that you deserve to be destroyed and to be damned forevermore. What makes you realize that? Is it somehow you that comes to this realization? It's God's goodness. Amen. It's God's grace. Oh, that some of the young people in this congregation would wake up and taste and see that the Lord is good. To see that you're a wicked, vile sinner in the presence of a holy God. That God would show Himself to you like this. He showed to Hobab this. He said, come, Hobab, and I will give you goodness. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power. See, my wife and I and my family are going to Prince George to show the goodness of God. We're going there to show that God is good, that God is gracious, that God is faithful, and that God loves His people. I know that the Lord would give us grace to prove that and to show forth that as we go our way to Prince George. This was certainly a main distinctive of Hobab, the goodness that was shown to him. But notice, secondly, not only the goodness to Hobab, but notice the gifts of Hobab. Hobab was a gifted man. He knew the area better than any other. He was a guide. Such a guide like Hobab would be a great blessing to Moses and the nation of Israel. He would be their eyes. Can you imagine Moses saying to Hobab, you're going to be the eyes of Israel. You're going to watch out for our enemy. You're going to look for water and food and pasture and safety for us. We are entrusting you with our safety and with our livelihood. What a responsibility that this man was given. Moses must have felt very highly of this man. He must have been considered by Moses as an invaluable aid. Hobab would have been a blessing in finding water and food, a blessing in finding a place to rest, a blessing in keeping Israel safe from enemies and wild animals. And how I relate this to my own experiences, in a sense, every pastor of a congregation, you could say, are the eyes of the congregation. It's the pastor's responsibility to make sure that the people of God are fed and watered. It's the pastor's responsibility to keep the people of God safe from the enemies of wrong doctrine and evil men. In a very similar way, Hobab was like that for the children of Israel. So I will be called to be like that in Prince George. And so too is your minister here, very much like Hobab. He is the eyes of the people. And all that the Lord would raise up in His under-shepherds that sense of responsibility to care for the people of God and to make sure that they're protected and fed and watered. It's an awesome responsibility. And the Lord gifts certain men to be that person who is to have that responsibility in the church. But we have to remember that in the body of Christ, there are many gifts that God bestows upon His people. We read in Romans chapter 12, verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophesy or let us prophesy, according to the proportion of faith. In other words, Hobab was an important part of the success of Israel, but he was just a part of it. There were other people in that congregation, in that nation, that had gifts as well. But it was all for one purpose and for one glory, and that was for the glory of Jesus Christ. It wasn't for Hobab to show off his gifts. It wasn't to make people impressed with Hobab, though he had a gift of reconnaissance, though he had a gift of the land. He was to use it for one specific purpose, and that was to make sure that the people of God were safe, that the people of God were nourished, that the people of God were healthy. I have to say, I think too many today that hold the position of pastor, they don't see it that way. They look at it more as their opportunity to shine forth and to put forth their agenda and to not bring glory to Jesus Christ. But Hobab here, and that's why Moses wanted Hobab so much, because he knew what gifts he had and how he could be beneficial to the people of God. That's one of my visions that I have for going up to Prince George, to bless the people of God, to see them go on with the Lord, to care for them. I know that as a man of God, I'm still a sinner, and I need the Lord to work in my heart to be more sanctified and conformed to His image. Oh, but that the Lord would raise up men who really have a love for the flock of God, who make sure that they have eyes for no other but for the people of God. And that's what Moses was saying to Hobab. Saying, we're trusting you, Hobab. We're putting our faith in you. And when a man's called to be a pastor of a congregation, that's really what the congregation's saying. They're saying, you need to be our eyes. You need to watch out for us. You need to care for us. You need to keep us safe. I really feel that as the Holy Spirit is poured out upon a man who's called, the Lord will help that man to fulfill that role, to be the eyes, to be that responsible individual, to care for the people of God, to see that they're healthy, not undernourished and starving. How many people today in this country are starving spiritually? They don't hear anything about Jesus Christ. They're not fed the bread of life. They're not going to the well of salvation. And they go to church Sunday after Sunday, and they're not being protected. They're not being taken care of by a pastor who preaches Christ and lifts up Christ and cares for Christ and His glory. Oh, that God would raise up a generation of preachers in our day that would have that burden to see to the welfare of God's people and to the glory of God. This is the type of man Hobab was. And this is the type of men we need in the Church of Jesus Christ. A pastor is called to point God's people to Christ, who is the well of salvation, the bread of life. Christ, who is the rest and refuge for the souls of men. Can you just imagine how Hobab would have been responsible to find a secure place for these people to rest? What if he... didn't see an enemy hiding in the mountains, and the people of God were there resting, and the enemy came upon them suddenly and destroyed them. What kind of scout and reconnaissance would Hobab be? What kind of man would he be? Oh, that the Lord would give to us ministers who point people to rest in Christ and to go to Christ for safety and security for their souls. So in a very real sense, every pastor, every minister is like Hobab. He's the eyes of the people of God. And the Prince George has called me to have that responsibility. We have become, in a sense, a bond has developed there, and a friendship, a unity. But most of all, there has been this incredible trust and faith on the part of the people of God to call a man to be their shepherd. And I believe Hobab represents every good, true pastor of the gospel of Christ. So we see the goodness of Hobab. We see his gifts. But notice, thirdly and finally, the guarantee that Hobab received. The guarantee remained in verse 29 of our text. And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Raguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good, for the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. What a promise that Hobab received from Moses. But this wasn't just Moses' words. This is the promise from the Lord. The Lord had promised this to Hobab. The Lord had promised that if you come and follow me, if you come and follow the people of God, you will be blessed. I will do you good. What a tremendous word for any man who takes a step of faith and wants to follow after the Lord. To have a promise from the Lord that if you do this in faith, I will bless you. I will do you good. What would you think if I went out to a place like Prince George and just thought, well, you know, this would be a nice venture for me and my family. This would be exciting. This would be a great trip. This would be a good career change. If I had all these different motives for having me go to Prince George, what about God's promise? What about the Lord saying, Lord, the Lord says, if you go, I will bless thee. If you go, I will do you good in the people of God. And I can say that this text here is really endeared to me because I believe God has spoken to my own heart regarding this. That He will do us good, that He will provide, that He will be faithful to us, just like He was to Hobab, just like He is to all of God's people. God will provide. God is faithful. God has never failed His people, and He never will fail His people. None of God's people were ever disappointed in their great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And He has promised that He will use us to accomplish His will and His purposes in our lives. And I believe that this promise that God has given to Hobab, I can claim as my own promise in my own heart as I go forth to British Columbia. What would make me leave Indianapolis and move to a remote and unfamiliar area like Prince George, British Columbia? The promise of God. God has spoken. God will do it. God will do it. And He will receive the honor and glory. See, I don't want to go. There was a man who once said when he went forth to serve the Lord, he doesn't want to go and be known as someone who went. He wants to be someone who was sent. There's a difference. Someone who went. Sometimes will come back in discouragement and despair because he just went and did it. But if you're sent, if the Lord calls you, if the Lord promises you that He will be with you, that He will never forsake you, then there's such a difference in terms of a man's motivation and a man's vision for what the Lord will do. And I believe this text will always be a special text for me. And perhaps you're here today, and Moses, though I'm not Moses, but I'm here as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I request for you to come and follow Christ. I ask you, will not you come and follow Christ and His people? Will you say, like Hobab, no, I will not. I will go back to my sin. I will go back to my land. I will go back to the things that I like. I will turn my back on the Lord. Or will you say, yes, I will follow the Lord. I will follow His people. I will see the goodness and grace of the Lord in my life. The gospel demands a verdict. The gospel demands a verdict. Yes or no? And Hobab initially said no. But what made him change his mind? It was the grace of God. It was the Holy Spirit that changed this man's heart from the answer of no to an answer of yes. And he followed the Lord. And you can see by following the Lord how he was blessed and how his future generations were blessed. Sadly, today we see too many people today choosing wickedness and choosing that which would bring disgrace and folly upon the name of the Lord. And you can see their future generations going further and further away from the Lord. You can see that there is this distance that grows after each generation. They become farther and farther away from the Lord until there is full-blown apostasy. Not in the life of Hobab. We see here his generations served the Lord. They feared the Lord. They wanted to follow the Lord because they loved the Lord and His people. Oh, that the Lord would work in our families, that the Lord would work in our hearts, that we might have a seed and seeds raised up to carry on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is a passage that's dear to me in Numbers 10. I just wanted to share that with you. I hope that it encourages you. But we're all like Hobab. We have to make a decision. But we can't make a decision in our own strength. We need the Lord to open our hearts and to give us that ability to call upon the Lord. And if you think that you can just one day decide to accept Jesus Christ in your own strength and in your own power, you're deceived. You have to ask the Lord to open your heart. You have to ask the Lord to give you a new life, a new heart, a new perspective. Hobab's life was changed. His perspective was changed. His whole life was transformed when he decided to follow after the Lord. And so you too need that transformation. And only Jesus Christ can do it. I would urge you to cry out to the Lord to save you from your sin, to save you from yourself, and to follow after the Lord. He's good, He's gracious, He's merciful. He'll never, never turn away from a sinner. Oh, come to Christ and be saved. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank You for this passage here in Numbers 10 and Hobab's journey. And Lord, we, in a real sense, all of us are like Hobab. We say no to the Lord in our sinful nature. We want to go back to our comfort and to our easy life. And yet there's something in our hearts, Lord, that has changed. God has come and He's breathed life into us. He's given us forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ, and He's transformed our life. We no longer want to go back to the way we used to live. We want to follow the Lord and to do things with His people. No, Lord, we thank You for this wonderful picture here of Hobab. And Father, if there's someone here today who is saying no to Christ, who is turning their back on Christ, I pray You will arrest them, Father, that You will save them from their folly. Lord, we know that no man can save himself. Oh, Father, we know that Hobab changed. Something happened to that man. And, oh, Lord, we believe that You can do that even in our midst today, that You can change a person's rebellion, change a person's apathy and indifference, and make them into a trophy of grace for the honor of Christ. And, Lord, I thank You for this passage that You used to speak to my heart. And I pray, Father, that as I go forth in the power of the Spirit of God, that You will bless me and my family and my children, Lord. We cast ourselves at Thy mercy. We ask Thee for Your goodness to follow us all the days of our life. And that, Lord, we might taste and see that the Lord is good. And that we truly might prove that the Lord is long-suffering and gracious to His people. I thank You, Father, for this congregation here in Malvern. I thank You for many of my friends and many of my family members that are here today. And I pray, Lord, that You will help us to have a closer walk with Thee. Help us to love Christ more. So, Lord, we thank You for this time now. And we pray You will grant us traveling mercies as we make our way home. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.